On this episode of Teched Out by Full Stack Academy, Jeff and I discuss abstract data types and data structures. It may be helpful to listen to our episode on understanding data before getting started on this one. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, whatever your name is. Chris, Carrie.
All right, well, you're kind of being rude.
Corey's giving me a weird look. Does that count?
I don't know, this whole setup, this room, every time we come in, there's like new things in this recording studio, and it's...
gigantic television.
Yeah, it's a really big TV. In fact, it's taking up most of this table. It's a little ridiculous. Maybe we'll post a picture on our site.
Yeah, so it's really just functioning as a mirror right now.
Yes, I see myself a little bit too much in this podcast.
Very expensive mirror.
But happy birthday, man.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so it's Jeff's Thanks. Birthday today, so that's pretty exciting. When you all hear this, it won't be Jeff's birthday.
It's true.
So sad. But we can still be happy for him. Because, you know, it's his birthday today, so who knows what'll happen this weekend, you know?
Who knows?
Just, you know, Jeff's quite the party animal, so, as obvious.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody could have guessed that.
Yes. So, I feel like today's about eating our vegetables. You know, it's not machine learning, it's not some fun topics, like even algorithms is pretty fun, right?
Yeah, but it's not like a hot topic.
It's not a hot topic
in the news.
But you got to rip that Band-Aid off. Mm-hmm. You have to, at some point, talk about, you know, this whole first season has been about this big overview of big topics in tech. And we would be doing an injustice if we didn't talk a little bit about managing and storing data at a programming level, at a programmatic level. And I think that's something that we should talk about today. We've talked about data, right? We talked about that at the end of the day, every representation that we have in a computer, like everything that we think of that we want to put into a machine or represent in a machine, we have to do so with ones and zeros. We talked about binary, right? We talked about the way we can convert our number system, our decimal base 10 system to binary, the base 2 system. We talked about encoding and decoding, how we can take a character and say, okay, this exact sequence of ones and zeros represents this character, right? And so with enough specification, with enough combinations, with enough ones and zeros, we can start to represent a breadth of different, what we call primitive types, right? Which are these fundamental units in programming, the number, right? The integer, right? Oh, okay. With enough bits, we can represent numbers up to, you know, 2 billion or something like that, right? So with enough bits, we can represent most characters.
Right. Booleans, I think we've mentioned before, true or false, right? Just our logical values. We can talk about strings, which are just kind of sequences of those characters that you talked about. You know, words you can think of as strings. A lot of different primitive types that we can use there.
So it's interesting that we call string a primitive because it isn't truly a primitive, right? Like when we say primitive, we mean that like the amount of data that is being used, the amount of bits that is being used is calculated. So with a number, we can, or an integer, we can always say like, okay, we're always going to set 32 bits aside. We can represent any number from 0 to 2 billion with 32 bits. And because we have enough combinations of ones and zeros and 32 sequences of 0 and 1 to represent up to 2 billion some odd numbers, okay? But with strings, that seems a little bit strange, right? Because the longer the word, the more bits that we would need technically in memory, right? So how could we represent something like that in memory? Like these primitives sort of make sense to me, but how could we represent something more complex? Like if we didn't care just about the letter A, but I cared about the word like artichoke.
Artichoke, yep.
That
starts with A.
I can't believe that's the first thing that came to mind.
In a healthy mindset today. That's great. Thinking about your vegetables.
I was actually thinking about
where we started this.
Artichoke pizza. From,
slightly less healthy. Although pizza is a vegetable, I think, technically.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, God.
Didn't Congress decide that because it has tomato sauce on it?
It sounds like
a vegetable in kids' lunches or something.
That sounds like the U.S. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Pizza's vegetables. French fries, I'm sure, are vegetables. Yeah, right, as well.
But potatoes, got to get your potatoes.
Right.
So,
yeah. That's our recommendation for the weekend. Make hot sure. tip.
Yeah.
Pizza and French
what
fries.
What are you eating for your birthday?
Pizza.
Are you eating pizza?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I canceled my lunch of artichoke pizza. Thanks for the heads up,
Maybe
Jeff.
Doritos.
Doritos on pizza?
Oh, man.
That sounds gross.
You're crazy. That is just sacrilege. I don't know. You do you. Mm. I am hopelessly addicted to just regular old nacho cheese Doritos.
Oh, nacho cheese. I feel like most people are into the Cool Ranch Doritos.
Really?
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, Cool Ranch is great.
Can we do a poll on our site and see what you all think?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, now we have to
tweet
do that,
at us.
tweet
at us your favorite kind of Doritos and why it's nacho cheese.
TECHD_OUT. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, all right. So
we were talking about strings, I think.
Yeah. How do I store artichoke? I know I get
artichoke,
it.
Artichoke. Right. Yeah. Okay. So you were talking about how you can just store a sequence of ones and zeros that's kind of a fixed length for a character, for the character A, right? So a string you can just think of as a list of characters, but we don't necessarily know the length, right? So if we know that each character is going to be, say, a byte of memory, 8 bits we're going to use to represent a character, then we can say, okay, well, the first character is going to be 8 bits, and then the next character, we're going to use the next 8 bits after that, and the next 8 bits, right? So at that point, we've got A-R-T, art, but we still don't really know where to stop, you're saying, right? So what we've got in memory here is what we'd call an array.
Ah.
We've got a number of bits that are just all in a row, all one right after another, that we can divide up into these 8-bit sequences, these bytes, which are going to be a character each. And if we don't know how long the word is, then when we start to store a word, a string like artichoke, we probably want to give ourselves a pretty big array to say, okay, let's assume this is going to be big enough, and hopefully we won't run out of room. But if you know the length of the word beforehand, we can say artichoke is, what, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9. Nine letters, yep. Math time.
I feel like we're overusing that. We're just counting letters.
Maybe. Yeah, right.
So I feel...
Counting is math.
Math time, okay.
I think in the age of cell phone calculators, simple counting is math.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's...
So if you've got 9 characters and each of them have 8 bits, right, that's 8 times 9 is what, 72? 72. So you can say, okay, we're going to store, you know, 9 bytes or 72 bits in a row, and that's going to store the word artichoke. And we might even have to have a special invisible character at the end of that, which is like the string termination character.
The null character.
Exactly. Right. When the computer gets to the end there, it sees that character, and so the computer knows, oh, we're at the end of the string here. I shouldn't look at what comes after this. Artichoke is the word, and we're done.
So let me just clarify something. I think that with characters, it's pretty straightforward. With numbers or integers, it's pretty straightforward, right? It's like we have some amount of bits that are set aside to represent this thing. But with a string, it's sort of like a bunch, like a list of characters. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we refer to lists as arrays. Other languages call them lists. In some languages, we call them arrays. And what we can do here is say, okay, for each character that we have, for each thing that we want in this list, we're going to set aside a set amount of memory. And what's good about this is then we can just remember where to start reading from. So like if we just remember, okay, let's say in our computer for simplicity purposes, we have 1 million bits. Very simple, okay? And we say that, okay, this string is going to start being stored at location 500. If that's the case, right, then we can go ahead and say, okay, at location 500, we have the letter A. At location 501, we have the letter R, T, et cetera. And so the amount of locations that we would take up, I'm sorry, I think I messed up there actually. So we would represent the letter A with the 7 characters needed from 500 to 507, right? And so we can represent kind of where to start reading and where do you stop reading by just at some point providing that null character. We say start reading by saying start reading from this index. And then at that point, we can jump forward and forward and forward and forward just by saying, okay, I want character number one. Mm-hmm. Well, character number one is going to be starting at 7 characters, 7 bits from the 500th marker. Character two will be, right, 14 bits away. Now, we oftentimes zero index these things. We say that like the first character is at the zeroth position, and then this first character is really the second character, right? So like it's a little bit off by one. But the reason for that is because we say that it is at its starting location. It is at the zeroth index because when we refer to it in memory, when we say start at location 500, we don't want to say jump forward. So a lot of languages make it simple and go, okay, start at location 500. And if you're at the zeroth index, then just start at the zeroth position.
Right. Yeah. So we have sort of like addresses in memory, right? And we could say something like the word artichoke lives at address number 500, right? Bit 500 in our computer. And like you were saying, these indices that you see that start at zero, they're sort of like jumps forward from the starting address, right? The letter A is at 500, the starting address, plus zero, index zero, whereas the letter R is 500 plus one set of, like one character ahead of that, 8 bits or whatever it is.
Gotcha.
Ahead of that. Yeah.
Very, very, very cool. So now using our bit system, we have a way of representing a list of characters, right? But we don't need to stop there. We just chose a list of characters in this case because what we were trying to represent was a string, right? Mm-hmm. We could very easily represent a list of numbers. Maybe, you know, for your wild party tonight, maybe you want to keep track of everyone's age to know if they can drink or not, right? So maybe you want to take a list of all the ages that are of people coming to your party. Make sure they're 21 because nobody drinks under 21. You know, we could sign up for the army, but you can't. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So maybe you do want to have a list of those things. And when you have that list, you have to be able to store it in memory. Well, we can use the same idea here. Instead of storing 7 bits for each character, we can say, okay, ages, we're going to store 32 bits for each number, right? So you're going to have a list. We're going to remember the address at which our list, which our array begins at, and we're going to set aside a set amount of bits. You know that there's 20 people coming, 100 people coming, 1,000, because it's such a wild party. We need to set aside 32 times 1,000 pieces of memory, right? 32,000 bits for math time, right? There you go. That's better. I did some actual math there. So yeah, but that's the idea here is we can start to represent these lists in a way in memory. And this is really powerful, right? This is sort of the basis of every other data structure that we're about to talk about. This is sort of the only way that we can start to store bulk information in clusters is with this idea of kind of storing a location address and setting aside memory, right?
Yeah. So at this point, you're talking about a list as kind of an abstract thing. It's a collection of these smaller individual values, right? We have a single value, which is character or a number or a Boolean or whatever, right? And you can list these things together to make these composite data types, right? Mm. These things that are just combinations of values which are related to each other in some way. Like one way that we might talk about these things being related to each other is order. Are they ordered or not, right? And in a list, of which a string is an example here, the word artichoke, the order of those characters does matter, right? If you scramble them all up, if you mix them all up or reverse them or whatever, it no longer says artichoke.
Unfortunately, so, yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah, right. Maybe it would say something. We need to come up with some anagrams for artichoke. Can't think quickly enough.
I definitely, it's too early.
Tweet us your artichoke anagrams.
Okay, yeah. That sounds like a good idea. That sounds like a good use of their time. So
yeah. But in some cases, we don't necessarily care about the order, right? Like in your party ages example, maybe I'm going to keep track of like the order of which people came in and look to see if there's some trend there, but I probably don't care. I probably just care that I keep track of all the ages there. So we could call that maybe instead of a list where the elements are ordered, we could say that's a set of numbers. It's a set of values.
Gotcha.
And when it comes down to it, storing it in the computer, maybe we store it the same way. We just don't really look at those indices, those like the ordering in which we store all those things.
Gotcha.
So it seems to me like we've got some value in how we actually keep things in the computer's memory, but then there's sort of this like abstraction that we give to it sometimes. We kind of say like, this stuff, we care about the order, this stuff, we don't. How would you distinguish between what's going on at the bits and bytes level and how we think about what the data is and its relation to other bits of data?
Sure. So I think that one of the limitations to the system is that with our array storage, with our grouping of collection of elements, right, we're sort of fixed, right? We don't have this ability to not care about growth, for example. Like, we have to say to the machine, okay, there's 1,000 people coming to this party. Set aside 32,000 bits. But if you get that 1,001st person, someone brings a guest, something like that happens and you need to add, well, guess what? Other variables might have been declared. Other data might have been built. Mm-hmm. And so that memory at location 32,001, right after our array finished, right, is sort of taken.
There might already be a value living at that address.
Exactly. Right?
Can't just evict them from their home and expect that our neighborhood's still going to work exactly the same way as it did before.
That's great. That's a great analogy. That's better than your anagrams, for sure. but that's exactly right. So we already have data there. We can't just throw it away, right? So this becomes a problem with the list data type, because it is unfortunate to us that we can't actually store this thing in a particular way.
Because we ran out of room.
So what would we need to do? We'd literally need to make a copy of the entire thing and, like, set aside a new chunk of not 32,000, but 32,032 bits for that extra, you know, number that we want at the end.
Right. Yeah. Like, it turned out that the building we built originally is just not quite big enough for all the people we want to be living inside of it. So at that point, you've got no choice, really, right? All the room's taken up. You need to build a whole new building that's just bigger. It's got more stuff. And you need to move everybody into that new building,
right?
Which is a kind of a painful process, right?
Yeah. So, but as you mentioned, sometimes we don't care about the order. And so if we don't care about the order, what could we do differently?
Well, if we don't care about the order, then I guess one thing we could do at that point is we could say, well, let's just allocate some other region of memory, right? Let's just build a new building and maybe say that all the people in both of these buildings are part of this same group.
Ah, so
does that work?
It's sort of like this idea that maybe our data can actually, it's funny, it's like we can almost, if we know ahead of time that we're going to want more stuff and we want this flexibility in our building, if you will, we can, instead of storing just like a list of all of the members of that building, maybe what we can do is we can point to somewhere in memory. Instead of pointing to an array that's at some location or a list that's at some location, we can actually point to just a small little sect of information. We can say we can group these two things in memory together. We call this a struct. By the way, a struct. And this is a little bit different than an array in the sense that a struct can actually have two different pieces of information, whereas an array had to all be the same type so that we can allocate, you know, particular things along the way. We could say, okay, you know, exactly the amount of memory, right? We need exactly numbers. So otherwise, if we use some numbers and some Booleans, for example, 32,000 bits would not be appropriate, because if there was just a random Boolean in the middle, we couldn't just use math to find where a particular index was or a particular frame of our array. So we can store this thing called a struct, which allows us to say, okay, here's some value. Here's our building member. Here's the name of the person. And that person might remember, as a second thing, another person in the building, right? We could start to, like, say, okay, you know what? This is going to be a single piece of information. But what I'm going to do instead is, instead of storing more people in this list, I'm going to store one person's name as well as a pointer to point to at some other person. And this is really cool, because now we're storing another memory location as a piece of data.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So this idea of a struct, or I think tuple, I've heard that term thrown around too. It's just sort of like stuff that is put together, but they're not all the same type usually, right?
Yeah.
So you could have like a number and a Boolean, or, you know, a string and a number, or whatever have you. It's just groups of stuff put together. And it sounds like it's totally different than an array, but in the computer's memory, we could just say one of these tuples or structs is going to take up, you know, 10 bytes or something, and the first two are going to be for, I don't know, like a couple of characters, and then after that we're going to have a number, and then, like you said, a pointer to an address somewhere else in the computer's memory, right? And so if we start to kind of chain these things together, if we say, okay, this region stores this value and a pointer to this other address, and that address stores some value and a pointer to a different address, like, you can kind of hop from one value to the next without them all being right next to each other on the same block. of the computer's memory. Is that the idea here?
Yeah, and that's an extremely powerful tool, because think about our original example. Let's stop doing 1,000 like numbers. That's a little bit hard to grab our head around, but let's just say 5, right? So, or 10. 10 times 32 bits of numbers is 320 bits. Let's say that we wanted to insert something in the middle, right? This becomes a very, very difficult task to do, because each number has an exact location of where it can be found in memory. Mm-hmm. So if I had 9 numbers and I wanted to insert a number after the 5th number, I would have to create some operation to essentially like temporarily store some values while I go after value number 4, insert my new value, and then copy values that were at 4 before over through 5 through 10. So it's a big operation that we would need to do to actually just insert some value. But if instead what we did was we used these structs and we sort of chained them together, and all they were doing was pointing to some other struct or pointing to some other thing in memory, in the task of insertion becomes really simple. We just say, okay, find the 4th one in this chain. So start, go find the next one, the next one, the next one. And at this point, when you insert, all you're going to do is say, hey, that last one, go ahead and point at this new node, point at this new struct that we have in memory, okay? And then take this thing and point it at another thing, right? And now this, just by moving the pointers, we've essentially inserted it. That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, so rather than having to move everybody down an address just to fit someone there in the middle, you're saying we can just put someone somewhere completely unrelated. Like, could be in a totally different neighborhood, but as long as we tell person number 4, okay, you point to this now, and then that new node points to what used to be person number 5, like, now we've put someone between 4 and 5. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so what's the biggest difference here? Like, what do we see different between these, like, sort of expandable lists, I'll call them for now, versus like the lists that we talked about in the sense of arrays? What's like the big difference there?
Yeah, well, it seems to me like you can still maintain some sort of order there, right? As you go from one address, jumping to the next one, jumping to the next one, even if they're not all literally next to each other in the computer's memory, you can still maintain an order. You can have a list stored that way, right? So that doesn't seem different to me, but like you said, you can expand it. It's flexible, right? You can put stuff in the middle very easily. You don't have to know how many things you're going to store ahead of time, right? Because you can always just add someone new. As long as there's space somewhere in the computer's memory, if you thought you were going to have 10 people, but 20 people showed up, you can just keep pointing the next person to a new place in memory, point them to another place in memory, etc.
Exactly. And so we stop caring about, oh, these things being contiguous, being in order, right? In a particular set in memory.
And like literally next to each other, you mean, right?
Yeah. Is there any downside then to using these like lists?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess we should name these things now, right?
Yeah.
We talked about arrays as these, you know, things that are next to each other, literally in memory, one bit next to another bit next to another bit. What we've been talking about here, where the stuff lives all over the place, but we store the pointers to the next things in the list, we could call a linked list.
Oh,
because
okay.
We have a list of these values that are linked to each other by storing the address of the next thing in line.
Very cool.
So downsides, well, for one thing, if you want to go to, say, the 7th character in the word artichoke, we talked about before, you could go to artichoke's address, which was maybe 500 in our memory, and we could say, okay, well, let's look 7 characters ahead, and we can just do a quick jump. It's actually very easy for a computer to do that, to go to, you know, address 507 or 500 plus 7 times 8 bits or whatever, right?
Because it's literally math. It's like a calculation.
Yes.
That's very easy to compute. We can say that, okay, well, because you set aside, you know, a set of characters, and these characters are all contiguous, all I have to do is take our starting location and add the amount of like spots that you want to move forward.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very simple, and it's very quick lookup.
Exactly. So it'd be kind of like, you know, you want to visit your friend who lives at, you know, 500 Main Street, but they live on the 11th floor, right? We would just go to 500 Main Street and we'd take the elevator up to floor 11. It's very easy to find your friend.
Love it.
Great
example.
With a linked list,
man.
Though.
You were on. That was
this
great.
Neighborhood example. I'm just, yeah, just, yeah. Just going with
it. I had
it,
no
I
idea you were
going
to go with this today. I had like waffle examples ready
either.
And like.
Oh, I definitely want
to
hear
no,
waffle
it's
examples.
No, I forget it. The building
we're
is way
back
better
to
than,
that.
All right, maybe.
But with a linked list, if you know that your friend lives somewhere in this linked list, it's like a, I don't know, like a secret group of people that are all connected to each other throughout the city. They're not all in the same building, right? All you know about the linked list is where the first person lives. Mm. Like, they live at 206 Main Street. And you have to go and knock on that person's door and say, hey, are you Corey?
I hope there's a Corey who lives at 206 Main Street and feels this awkwardness as hearing this
podcast. We're on to you, Corey.
Corey, we're coming for you.
You've been selected. You're the winner of the teched out sweepstakes.
I don't know how often I say Corey. As a Corey, I feel like the amount of Coreys that I say is fewer. I mean, maybe it's just not that common of a name. I hear it a lot, obviously.
Right.
I don't really have a nickname either, so it's like, it's just Corey.
Hardcore.
Like, hardcore.
The core man.
Oh, God. I've heard you.
We'll come up with one. Tweet us your Corey nickname. No. Suggest-
oh, God. Please stop with the tweet us at the... yeah, I mean, you know... I've always wanted. Help I always felt out. Sad. Everyone's like, you know, got a cool nickname in college, or at least their last name, or like an abbreviation. Everyone's just like Corey, and I'm just like, yeah, that is just that's it. There you go. It's just Corey with an E.
I never really had a cool nickname either. One of my friends used to call me Jefe, which was kind of cool because it's Spanish for boss,
right.
I think.
Right.
But then I found out it's also the nickname of like a brutal dictator from South America, and feel less cool about that.
Right.
Yeah. My dad always used to call me G-Man.
G-Man.
So, yeah.
G-Boss.
G-Boss. That would have been way cooler. Yeah. But, so finding your friend Corey, right?
Right?
Corey doesn't live at 206 Main Street, let's say, right? Someone else opens the door and you're like, hey, I'm looking for Corey. Can you help me find him? All they can say is, well, I don't know who lives at the next address, but the only address I know about is, you know, 572 Pine Street. Mm. So go there, right? Corey might be somewhere, like he might live there, or he might live in the next house after that, or the next house after that. So you have to keep like traveling all over the city. You got to hop on the subway and go find Pine Street and knock on their door. Is Corey here? Nope. But the next address is, you know, 76 Walnut, and you got to go there. And it's like, right. When am I going to find Corey? How long is this going to take?
Yes. So let's also clarify something. I really love the city example, but the hopping on a subway is not something the computer is going to have to do, right? Because you provide that address.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, and you provide this address, like someone else remembers the next address, and you can just like jump to that position, which is really, really, really cool.
That's true.
Yeah. Right. So by remembering this next person, we create this chain, and we call that chain a linked list. And this has the ability over arrays and other regular lists that it can expand in size, shrink in size, move, insert things very easily because of the fact that we're using to connect people, connect things, connect data are these pointers. And this is a huge concept. In fact, this is the basis for basically every other abstract data type out there, right? This is like one of the main ways that we can start to organize data at a larger scale. This gives us so many possibilities you can't even imagine yet, right? Like what else could we do here? Like our nodes, which are one piece of this linked list, right? We call them each person in this case, each person at an address or at each house is a node in our linked list that is sort of pointing at another person or at another node, right? What's like the next step here, right? What else could we do with this? So, what could we organize using this linked list sort of data structure?
Sure. So we've talked about a couple of these more abstract things, and I want to give them a name too at this point. We usually call those abstract data types. Mm. You'll hear the term ADT sometimes thrown around. And those are the things that's like the models that we use, to represent certain things. Whereas what we've been talking about with arrays and linked lists, how the computer actually stores and manages this stuff, these are what we might call data structures, right? So you have both arrays and linked lists, which we said are ways of storing lists, just lists in the abstract, these abstract data types, which are ordered collections of data. But we can also kind of make specific versions of lists, depending on how we use them. So let's say you've got a list of things and you only care about the last thing that was added to the list.
Hmm.
So for instance, I'm editing a document, right? I'm typing a paper or something like that. I'm writing up a blog post and I make a mistake. I want to undo that mistake, right? It would be really nice if my computer were keeping track of all the actions I've taken, all the keys that I've pressed, right? So that I can just say, get rid of that last one.
Right.
but maybe I don't realize until, like, I was, I don't know, distracted by something. I saw a bird out the window and I typed like 7 wrong characters, right? I'm lazy. I don't want to go and just like delete that and retype the characters. I want to undo 7 times, right? But I have to click that undo button 7 times, and the computer has to remember what were the last 7 things that I did and kind of rewind those actions in order.
I see. So this is a great example of what we call the stack, right? So this is what you call a stack. Think of a stack as like a stack of pancakes, right? Yeah. So if what we were doing with these nodes was kind of putting them in this system where instead of every time remembering the first person on our list, as soon as we add someone to our list, we're just remembering the last or the tail of our list, right? And so with this stack, we can start to keep track of the last thing that was added. We can push actions in, and then when we're done, pop them off, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that you brought up pancakes. I think that's a great image for how this works, right? We make a pancake and we put it on a plate, and then we make the next one, we put it on top of that, and the next one, we put it on top of that. Now we've got a stack of 3 pancakes, and the hottest, freshest one is at the top.
Yeah.
And if you're going to serve someone a pancake, you're not going to like dig under the stack of pancakes and try to grab one out from the bottom. That's really hard.
I do think it's a shame, though.
It is, yeah, because then you have this sad pancake that's been sitting there at the bottom of the plate for like, you know, half an hour or something, when all the fresh pancakes are the ones that are just served right away.
Yeah.
Right? It is, yeah. It is kind of
a shame. It always gets that point of syrup absorption that makes it like, you know, I'm just quoting Rick and Morty here. I don't know that exact quote, but you know what I'm saying.
Anyway. I know exactly what you're
You know what I'm
about.
Talking about? Yeah, that's so sad.
It becomes like a pasty mush.
And yeah,
it's
not
quite a pancake anymore.
I got you.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a stack. Hmm. Right. Yeah. And an undo stack in computer programs that keep track of that kind of thing works the same way. There is a list in memory where we're just, every time we do something, we put that action, that key that we pressed, at the end of the list, the top of the stack. That's the new pancake. And so when we undo, it's like serving that pancake or just taking it off the stack.
Mm.
We, you know, delete that last character. We uncapitalize the stuff that we just capitalized, right?
Got it.
So stacks are used all over the place in computer programs.
But sometimes we want the opposite, right? Mm. Sometimes we want not to do things in reverse order, but sometimes we actually want to do it in the order in which things were added, right? An example of this is like a line at an amusement park, right? Something where you're waiting for a ride. It'd be unfortunate if you were the last person on, and you're the first person on the like online, and then the last person was the first one taken, right? Sometimes
right.
we do care about the order, and we want to go through our list in a particular order, right?
Yeah.
We call this a queue. Right, so
just like a queue at an amusement park, a British amusement park.
British
at least.
Amusement park,
right? Yeah, and that's Q-U-E-U-E, which is one of my favorite words because it's 5 letters long, and you could just drop the last 4, and it still says exactly the same thing. Q.
I think I saw that on Shower Thoughts once.
It's that's not an original quote.
It's a Jeff original. This is what he thinks about it. He was the poster of that. Fun fact.
I wish.
You wish. That's like your dream.
That's
like
my dream.
Like that much karma. It's like, that's there's
just,
no.
I want something that people say that much. You know, I just want to have a clever quote attributed to me. That's all I want in life.
Mm. Yeah, I think we all. I don't think you're there yet with math time. I don't think.
No, it'll catch on.
One day.
Viral potential there.
So when we care about taking the first piece of information, then we want to use something called a queue, right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, we care about the order. Imagine going on Ticketmaster or StubHub at the time of release of a new ticket, mm-hmm. right? As soon as you click add to cart, it's sort of like you entered the queue of being eligible to buy these things, right? Like, they can only have 1,000 tickets, but 1,000,000 people try to download them or buy them at a particular time. All of a sudden, in the first one who comes to the site is the first one who's going to be served, right? And so we can use a queue, data abstract data type, to start to organize that information.
Yeah, right. I love your amusement park example. I often think of like a deli counter too, where you go and you take a number as soon as you go in, or I guess maybe the DMV if people have experienced that.
Oh God.
Can you
take
imagine
a number and you just don't ever use that number. You just sit there for
exactly.
like 6 years.
But
and then
imagine how much worse it would be if you go to the DMV and you get the number 6 and the next person after you gets the number 7 and 8 and so on. And after they've you know, taking the numbers up through 12, they start announcing what numbers people should bring up, right? And they start with 12, you're up. And you're sitting there holding the number 6, and it's like, well, wait a minute, when are you going to get to me?
Right.
And they say, after we've gotten from 12 through 7. Like, right. They go in reverse order like a stack.
Yes.
That would make no sense.
Exactly. Right? So that's the thing here is I feel like people overthink these abstract data types. They start to think like, oh, I got to memorize what a queue is. I got to memorize it. It's like, no, just think through how you want to organize your data, mm-hmm. and then one of these abstract data types will start to fit that niche, right? One thing that's really cool, I want to go back to this concept of nodes, right? With this linked list, where sort of like each node is keeping track of a next, then a next, then a next, then a next, right? And we can kind of spice things up a bit. If we think of a node not only having access to a next, but if instead of it keeping track of just one pointer, one thing that it's pointed at, we can actually start to build these things called trees by a particular node keeping track of other nodes that are maybe its children. Right, we could start to organize data in a hierarchical sense with this abstract data type, which is pretty cool, right? In our queue example, in our stack example, in our linked list in general, the only order we had that we could even prioritize was where you existed in this line. But it was a line. It was a straight line of evenness, right? But if we want depth, if we want to say, you know, we want to represent, I don't know, the branches of the U.S. government or something like that, mm-hmm. right? We'd have, you know, a top node that was like U.S. government, and it would have descendants that would be executive branch, legislative branch, and judicial branch, right? So that's
and each of those branches would then have other departments within it that it points to that are further down on the hierarchy. Right.
Exactly. So we can construct almost these trees
by
remembering the root of a particular tree, that initial node. And we keep track of that. We say, okay, let's remember the U.S. government tree. And that U.S. government first node has descendants, which are the judicial, the executive, and the legislative branch, which are themselves nodes that contain children, right?
I love the way that you're using the term branch here. Yeah. Also, like the branches of government, and it's the branches of the government tree, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's actually a great way to think about the difference between linked lists and trees. They're kind of the same thing in memory. They're these places in memory that store values and pointers to other nodes or values, right? Except in a linked list, like you said, it's a line, right? One thing can only point to the next thing in line. But in a tree, you can have a value that has branches.
Mm.
It points to multiple things. Someone on your block says, you know, instead of just saying the next person in line is the person who lives at 72 Main Street, it's I know about someone who lives at 72 Main Street and also someone who lives at 45 Walnut.
Right. Right?
They have branches there, and you've got to check each of those.
Yeah. And what's really cool about this, and this is probably like my favorite abstract data type, is that we can actually make specific kinds of trees. We can start to add rules to our trees. We can say, okay, well, given this particular tree, the value that's going to be stored in location number one, we'll call it the left child of this particular tree, we'll say is always smaller, and the value to the right might always be bigger. Right, we could start to organize things if there was a priority system. Maybe, what's a good example here of like where we would want to organize something in where we'd care about the left side being less and the right side being more? Maybe
just like sorted words, maybe, right?
Words.
Sorting things alphabetically.
Yeah, if we cared about keeping things alphabetical, we can say, all right, well, if the top node is the letter C, then the things to the left will be A and B. Right, and the things to the right could be D through the end of the alphabet. Right.
Yeah, or words that start with those letters, maybe.
Right. And we can exactly. And so this paradigm is really, really, really cool because it allows us to organize data in a way where we, knowing the root, can compare what we're looking for against the root and move in a direction based off of logic, right? If we're like checking to see if a particular tree, which has a series of words, but we follow this rule where the left side is always smaller and the right side is always bigger, then what's really cool about this is that we can say, okay, if the word we're looking for is cookie and we're looking at a list of groceries and the first thing that we compare against is
Falafel.
We know that cookie has to be on the left side of this tree.
Right.
Huh. Doesn't this sound a lot like what we talked about earlier on when we were doing our algorithms episode?
What was that algorithm called where you kind of split things in half? Or
the
only
binary search. Huh.
Binary
Does that come
search.
From
okay.
this, the binary search tree? I wonder.
Yeah, it sounds like a similar idea.
Exactly. And so this idea of branching, I feel like we just had like an M. Night Shyamalan twist. You know what I mean? It was like, whoa, that's what they've been talking about this whole time.
It's the character from the first scene again. Right? I didn't know they were coming back.
Yeah. And so it's back. And so that's really cool, right? This tree, this binary search tree gives us this crazy capability of being able to sort things or move, traverse through or search things very, very, very quickly.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And I also want to, we talked about like undo stacks and how those are used in computers. And just to kind of bring things back to from these metaphors that we've been talking about to where you might see these on a computer or in a program, trees are all over the place. And one good place that people are probably familiar with is a computer's file system and how that's organized, right? You have this idea of folders that store files or other folders, right? Like you might have a documents folder, and inside of your documents folder, you've got a reports folder. And inside of that, you've got like things organized by year. And so there are these branches, right? And a file on your computer only lives in one folder, right? But a folder can have multiple files.
Right.
And that's a tree, right? So we organize things on your file system, stuff on your hard drive in a computer as a tree.
Exactly. And in this particular scenario, we cared about it as a tree because usually we don't care about what folder something was in, but we care about how to find something through a folder.
Right.
Right. So it's sort of this one-way trip, right? We care about the executive branch houses, you know, the president or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So that's like that order where there's a very clear parent to something. And so with this tree-like structure, we have this parenting. So, and of course, if we got rid of that concept of parenting, we'd have a different abstract data. We'd have the graph where we could say, you know, this thing points to this thing points to nothing. It's just a free-for-all, right?
Mm, yeah, yeah, yeah. Graphs are fun. We could probably do 7 episodes on graphs by themselves.
So the point is don't memorize these abstract data types. They sort of speak out on what they are and what they do because they follow a certain set of logical steps to accomplish a particular goal.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're really just kind of mental models for what we're doing with this data and how it's organized, right? It's like how we think about this stuff or what we do with them. We can use a linked list to store a bunch of values that are in some kind of order, but if we access them starting with the most recent ones that were added, then we're using it as a stack. If we access those values starting with the oldest ones that were added, the first numbers taken from the deli counter, then we're using it as a queue, right? So it's not all that different.
Right. Yeah, I think that's great. And I think that's enough. I think it's enough in the weeds for today. I think that this is a cool topic. So
yeah, we'll keep coming back to it.
Definitely something that we will come back to. All right. Have a good birthday, Jeff.
Cool. Thanks, Corey.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If you liked it, please like it, rate, share, follow. Follow us on Twitter at TECHD_OUT.